Well, this morning I want to bring your attention to the most important things in your life. Well, I don't want to leave you in suspense to wonder what is these things that is very important in my life. Perhaps you are wondering now what might be the most important things in my life. So if you miss this, I suspect that you are in trouble. You are in trouble. And if I miss it, I myself also, I'm in trouble. And I think all of us, we can say, really, we can be in trouble if we miss this. And what is this? It's our relationship to Jesus Christ himself. Our relationship to Jesus Christ is so important, is the most important things in our lives. Because this determines, really, how we face life. Because as one of your great leaders in the past said, that this life is not meant to be easy, isn't it? Well, the life that Christ has given us is not meant to be easy in relation to the world in which we live. Jesus himself, he said, in this world you will have tribulations. Just imagine that this is what we face every day, tribulations. So I don't know if you have tribulations. some think tribulation is when you are sick. Some also think tribulation is when you have no job. Or tribulation is when you break up with your boyfriends. But actually the hardest tribulation is when Christ is not helping you in this life. Christ is not the one who is ruling your life. It's not the one who is giving you the strength and joy, because any strength that is drawn from any other source will not help you to stand. That is why Apostle Paul himself, in his address to the Colossians and to all Christians, though in the prison, so he took it upon himself that he will encourage the believers at Colossae. And also the Laodiceans and the surrounding churches and everyone who is called by the Lord Jesus Christ to hear this gospel. He wants them not to be deceived. He wants them not to be deceived, as we heard earlier. He wants them not to be tricked and to be told that there is another way to live. There is another thing that is more important in life. Well, just to make it so practical. Well, when your heart is troubled, when you are pursuing the will of God, when you are being opposed by Satan, so your life is a struggle. Your life is a struggle. Your life is, you can never sleep. Even if you, so our young adults last night, where did they go? They had a dinner, isn't it? Was it Friday? Yeah, Friday night. So Friday night, we have been seeing the slides, and so the food was so advertised, was so beautiful, isn't it? Even if you had that dinner, still, if Christ is not reigning supremely in your lives, if you are not having the joy of the Lord, forget about any other things. If the power of Christ is not ruling your hearts and your family and your relationships, if your relationship is just all criticisms and oppositions and lack of love and support and encouragement, so you are in trouble. But Paul is saying, well, this might be important, but he's drawing the attention of these people to Christ, to their relationship to Christ. So he said to them in verse 6, and that is the center of his teaching. He said, so then, just as you received Christ, or Christ Jesus, as Lord, continue to live in him. So this is the way. He said, you people, so in order to overcome things he has spoken about in verse 1 to 5 and then also from 9 onward. So he calls them to continue to live in Christ as you have received him. He told them already in chapter 1 verse 10 to 12 that you have giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought you or brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. So these people have been saved. And we know in the language of John 1:12, that those who have received him, he gave them the right to be called the children of God. They have received Christ. They have accepted him. They have confessed him to be the Lord. And now he wants them to continue in him. Because it's only when we continue to live in him, in Christ, that we can really face all the troubles that we have around us. All the troubles that the enemy may want to bring upon us. And so, and this morning, the Holy Spirit would want to call us to continue to live our lives in Christ Jesus, our Lord, without any arguments, without any reasons for us to raise that, oh, it is hard or anything, because many dangers are on the way to stop us following the dream of being united with our Lord and our Savior, and to know his power, and to know his love, and to know his deliverance and his liberation, and to know his enabling to call sinners to repentance with the anointing that he will give us, and with the love that he will pour upon us, that this love will be extended to enemies. The fanatic with long beards, then if you are full of the love of Christ, you can take them on. And they will be convinced that this person is an instrument in the hand of God. If we don't follow Christ, if we don't live in him as we should, forget about serving him as we ought. So anything that we do, it will be just motions, going through motions. It will be performance. It will be just activities. And these activities, they will be devoid of his power and his blessings. And so we don't want to waste time. And Paul wants to encourage his readers. He wants them to be encouraged so that they are not tricked. He says this. He says, I want you to know how much I am struggling for you. And many theologians and interpreters take this as to mean he was praying. He was praying. But actually, from the context, a person in prison, okay, yeah, he will be praying. But to take the time to think of these people is a great struggle. Because he said, like, the word of God can never be chained. Though in the prisons, now his struggle is that this word must go out, for is the instrument through which he will encourage the Colossians. You see, that is his struggle. He said he worked very hard so to make sure that these people are not deceived, and that there nothing is staying on the way for them to continue to live in Christ Jesus. Many of you, many years ago, you have heard me say that I was just like when I first came here. 2 years later, I find out that things are going to be so difficult, and I was like trying to run away. I thought, I can't continue in Christ in this way. So my continuation in Christ to please him and to serve him with all the grace and the power is going to be in jeopardy. And then other people like John Stott, Dr. John Stott of England. So he said to me, "Be patient," and he prayed for me. You see, it's only the praise of the leaders and the encouragement of the leaders like Paul that we can stand and say, well, we will be able to continue in Christ. We will continue. So he says to them, I want you to know that I am for you. I love you and I have these concerns for you, because he received the news from Epaphras that there are false teachers around there that are trying to trick these people with sound arguments. How many arguments we hear today? Well, if I just want to call one person from you today and come here, he will have a great philosophy about how to run a church, how to make it a mega, how to make it powerful and fruitful. You see, some people will come up with ideas, things like that. But actually, the bottom of the thing is that if you are not in Christ, forget about these things. How many mega churches are just like centers of prostitution and centers of blasphemy against the God of the heaven and the earth, the God of the Bible, and the Lord Jesus Christ. So they clouded the power of Christ, and then everything is just like so beautiful from the outside, but there is no life, there is no joy, there is no power, and there is no love and no progress and no freedom that Christ Jesus has called us into. We are dragging our feet and minds and everything, and so the ministry is just a struggle. But this morning, Paul is saying that we should not lose heart. He's encouraging us, saying that be encouraged in your heart. And again, even people's concept of heart, and through different cultures, they understand heart to mean something different. And I read many commentators, and they were pointing to the fact that the Western civilization understands heart as a center of emotions, when actually Semitic cultures, they don't take it that way. It's the center of the personality. It's the center of the personalities. We receive Christ in our hearts, and we believe him with our hearts so that the mind is subdued. How do we resist sexual temptations? Do we resist sexual temptations with minds? No, with our hearts. If your heart is not given over to sexual temptations, you will never fall. But give your heart, regardless of what your mind says, you will fall flat. Apostle Paul's encouraging these people. He says his purpose is that these people might be encouraged in heart and also united in love, the love of Christ. These people have this mindset. Heart is strengthened. Love of Christ, bind them together. These people will be able to stand. And so he said, these are the only ways to reach to the fullness and the riches, the riches of complete understanding. Complete understanding. And so the understanding Christ comes this way. And the richest of understanding Christ, of knowing Christ, comes in these ways. In being encouraged in heart, and also being united with others. Because Paul was speaking to a body. He's speaking to bodies, the Laodiceans and the Colossians, and then every person who has not met him, we have not met him. So Paul is speaking to us this morning. And so he says, this is the way for us to know the richness, and to know Christ is so rich. Your heart will be singing. Your heart will be filled with the Holy Spirit. You will have great desires for God's glory. And so this is how Paul is struggling, that Christians do not miss this, and that they not rejoice in the small things and the things of this world. And he will point these things out. And he said, hey, all your need is in Christ, in order that they may know the mystery of God. And so to know the mystery of God, and the mystery of God is Christ. What was hidden was Christ. All that we want to know about God, Christ came and revealed it. And so if we continue in Christ, we will know the mysteries and the hidden things of God. And so even like to understand that creation. I'm beginning to appreciate really how I came to appreciate the creation. It's only through salvation, isn't it? So because you believe, and then now you know fully that all that we see is from God. God has created it. And that is why we can sing this song, keep coming to me. God beyond our galaxy, you are holy. I can sing it all the time. So driving, everything. And I would be in tears, and I would be sometimes filled with the Holy Spirit. God beyond our galaxy, you are holy, God of heaven and the earth. Listen, this mystery, there was no other way for us to know this. Just talk to the atheists. They would tell you something different. They will not be able to sing that song, isn't it? They won't say that is God who has made this heaven. Well, is Christ the mystery? Because this is what Paul is saying, to know the mystery of God, namely Christ himself. Namely Christ. And no wonder why he would call us to continue to know in him, to know him, to continue to live in him, so that we know him more and better. That was the subject of his prayers in the previous 3 points I preached about last week. He prayed that they might be filled with the knowledge. So to go on knowing him, knowing God, knowing him intimately, knowing his surpassing power. One of the things we need to learn as a congregation is when we come together like this, we need to learn to receive his power and his presence even now, to be healed of our minds, to be healed here of conflicting thoughts, our hearts to be warmed and be filled with the Holy Spirit, and our problems be dispelled from our minds even as we sit in his presence like this. This is the purpose of the meeting of the believers. When we meet Christ in our midst, because he has promised, if two or three are gathered in my name, there I'm in the midst of them, doing what? Healing us, encouraging us. saving us, saving the lost, telling them, I love you. I can deliver you. I have the power that surpasses the power of the philosophers that Paul is fighting against here, who were calling people to have different knowledge. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by sounding argument or fine sounding arguments. How many arguments are there that someone would want to convince you with? Just imagine if someone comes now today and gave me just like a manual, how to win souls. How to win souls. And how to pray for someone who is under demons and to be delivered from the power of demons. And a lot of other things. If you want to have your prayers answered, people can give you manuals, long manuals, but that manual will not help you. You need to find it out yourself. As you continue to live in Christ, He will empower you to do these things and will give you the very anointing that you need for that particular task that He is calling you to do or to undertake. And also, if it is for your personal, He is able. So Paul is warning that there are many dangers on the road there. There are some people who are so clever, critical. One of the things that we need to learn, the things that can stand on the way, really is small things. So let us pray to the Lord that these things, so we overcome them, so we are not deceived by these arguments. So, and Paul himself, now he's asserting his authority in verse 5. That though he is absent, he believes that this letter, as it reached them, so will come with power and with authority to accomplish the purpose for which he has sent it to them. Because Paul, raised by God, he said this. He said, we proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom. He himself has been raised up, as he says in verse 4, chapter 1. Now I rejoice in what was suffered for you and fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regarding to Christ's afflictions. For the sake of his body, which is the church, I have become its servant by the commission of God. So see, he has been raised by God. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. As his words comes to the people there, will come with power and authority. And he says, like, I know that you have received Christ. Because these people, the people who have received Christ, they will recognize the spirit of Christ in the letters of Paul. And they will agree with him. And they will rise to do the very things he asked them to do. Be encouraged in heart. Be encouraged in heart. Be united. As he say, be. With the be comes the divine's grace. God comes forth. As Apostle Paul tells them that you, as I write to you, as the Holy Spirit's presence, as I am present with you in his spirit, and delight to see how orderly you are and how firm your faith is in Christ. So his expectation is these people's faith will be firm in Christ so that they can continue. So now the challenge. So he is calling them to do, because the way he structures his message is from 1 to 5. He stated out their concerns, and now he urged them, and later on he will give them reasons why he urged them to continue living in Christ. Well, first let me tell you what he wants them to do. He says to them, so then, just as you receive Christ as Lord. So the Lordship of Christ here is at the center of his message. The Lordship of Christ. You have received Christ as Lord. That means no one else can take his place. He is the Lord. He is the master. And now he's using the first century language, where slavery was everywhere there, isn't it? Everyone had own slaves. And so when you are a master to your own slaves, there is no any other masters over the slaves you own. And Paul is saying that as you come to believe Jesus and to receive the blessings that God has poured out upon you, forgiveness of sins, being qualified to be a member of the people of God, forgiven, justified once and for all, and then the Lordship of Jesus Christ, under which you have come, you must maintain that. You continue to exalt him as the Lord, and you do not have give your allegiance to another master. You should not listen to another person, not follow the instruction of another leader, another authority. This is the authority of Christ. Even people in the church, they shouldn't convince you and trick you to live in such a way that will undermine the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And one person in the past really gave a sermon on the Lordship of Christ, a call to a radical discipleship, and he gave six dimensions of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And he said, even six, mind, your mind must be convinced that Jesus is Lord. So the intellectual dimensions of the Lordship of Christ is there also. That intellectually you can't believe other things that compete with Christ. And also the social ethics or dimension of his Lordship. So as you conduct your life, as you live as a Christian, that you cannot step over boundaries as a slave of Christ, as a servant of Jesus Christ. So as you conduct your life, you live mindful of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. That what he says about how I use money. Some Christians, they do poker, isn't it? So they shouldn't have do that. You see, cohabitation before marriage. As Jesus is not Lord in those areas. So the Lordship of Jesus Christ has these social dimensions and also political dimensions. You see, you can't just go wild against Christ because these are your political convictions. No, you can't do that. You are not allowed under those things. So Jesus is Lord. He is the master. He will tell you everything. You see, how to vote, where to live. You see, who to associate yourself with. Yes, many, many dimensions. So the Lordship of Christ is very important that we think about this. He is the Lord. He is the master. He is the one ruling my life. And he is the one to serve, to exalt, to promote his glory and his dignity and his power. Is this what he is calling Christian to? So if we are not fearing him and trusting him as our Lord, forget about any other thing else. We can't continue in him. So our church will be just a social gathering and will be devoid of power, will be devoid of love, will be devoid of all the virtues, the things that God gives, that he has promised his people to overflow, to have joy, the fruits of the Holy Spirit. So that is why we read Galatians 3, isn't it? Verse 1. You foolish Galatians, you started with the power of the Holy Spirit. You were just so praising God because your sins, the load of sins, the guilt and the heaviness of sin and despairing. So now you are rejoicing. I'm so glad Jesus set me free. So those who sing this, really, they have been set free truly. Intimidation. Man can be also threatening. If Jesus is Lord, will you be fearing man? And when he said that, he said, do not fear those who can only kill your body, but you should fear him who is, who has the power to destroy both soul and your body in hell. So he's calling us to come out to his Lordship. Also, he wants us to continue looking to him. Looking to him for everything that we need as our Lord. Because a slave in the house of his master, he is living out of his mercy. He is living under with the blessings of all the resources that are there from his master. Where to live, what to eat. If other strong people come to harm him, his master has army to fight for him, to protect him. Because he is his slave, he has the obligation. And he is the provider. So Jesus, Paul says that you Christians, look to Jesus for everything you want. Look to him. This is how you can continue in him. Look to him. You have begun walking with him. Continue looking to him, so you do not just need to have trusted him yesterday for your blessings. You trust him today and you trust him for tomorrow. If he has healed you yesterday or many years ago, he can heal you right now. Are you limping? See, things like that. He can do that. But the thing is, like, if we are tricked, we can't receive his power. We can't be healed. We can't, because we are not going to him. We are not looking to him for everything now, because we have sources of blessings from somewhere else. And Jesus cannot be pleased with that. And he says that, look, this, you don't have to do it with your own power. Actually, when the words are rooted and built up, these are perfect tenses in Greek. They means that it's a one action that has taken place in the past but has present implications. That the impact continues. So you have been rooted. And so he is using agricultural language. You have been rooted, foundation. You have been built as a Christian. You are rooted in Christ. You are rooted in Christ. All that you need is to continue to have your mind, you to have faith in him, to believe, to continue believing and trusting him. Rooted. You have been already rooted and built up. That is the language of Ephesians 2:20. When Apostle Paul was calling the Ephesians he called them to build up their lives in on the strong foundation, the foundation of the apostle and the prophets and Jesus Christ himself, the cornerstones. He called them to do that. Build your life on this. So this is a strong foundation, building our lives on a solid rock. Christ, our solid rock. So as you believe in him, you are rooted and built up. So all that you need is to continue in that. And so as you do that, no devil in hell that can overcome you. But our problems, our despair is the fact that we need to be warned. We need to be encouraged. We need to be awakened up into these realities of the riches of Christ. Rooted and built up. And they are related together. Firm foundations built up in Christ alone, to live in Christ as Lord, rooted and built up. So this is very important. If you don't stand on these roots, you will fall away. If you didn't have roots deep down, I say many of us are standing today because you had a good beginning. Good beginnings are so fundamental for Christian walk. You need to discover your roots. Are you standing right? Are you being built up right? That is why, are you being built up with the truth of God or other truth? That is why Paul was just like really serious about the deceptions of the false teachers who were running around claiming that there is another knowledge apart from what we have been rooted in and built in, built up to. Christ is the foundation. We can only continue by remaining in Christ and rooted in him and built up. Like the branches of John 15, abide in me. So the branches are on the tree already, but all that they need to do is to abide in the vine, to abide. And all of us, all that Paul is asking here, we continue. How many of us today have been tempted just really to give their back to Christ? And just to devise their own ways of doing church or walking and living and doing making their own decision. That we do not seek the Lord. What do you want to say about this, Lord God? And this is just to shut your door and pray. Or to call a prayer meeting. It's more with friends and two people. Let us seek the Lord in relation to this. Let us seek Jesus. Because he speaks. He speaks. He touches. He directs. He changes. He tells us the way to go, not anyone else. Beware if someone is trying really to trick you. Paul is saying, that is why this man is saying, well, look, this is the very thing I have spoken about. You guys, you are not aliens to this idea. You are not, you know what I'm talking about. And then he says to them, see to it that no one takes you captive. captive. If someone is taken captive too, you are powerless, isn't it? So if a philosopher came and convinced you of weird ideas, how many times you have listened to weird ideas? Well, many years ago, someone came into this place and was giving a presentation in one of the evening services, and they got a box of water or and he was just like drinking water and telling us what we could do. I think that was going to help us somehow, spiritual or something. And then we felt really strange. That was strange. So even here, so thank God that the leadership there recognized that there was something that was not of Christ. And so we need to discern and listen. So Paul says, if you are captive, I've got 3 minutes to go or four. Mindful the food is getting cold, isn't it? Yeah, if you are taken captive, I don't know why I'm not passing these words. If you are captive, you are gone. You have someone like in prison, isn't it? Been captured. If the wrong ideas have just like taken hold of you, you are gone. And Paul is warning that, oh, look, you do not give yourself to these thoughts. Because in Christ, you have all that you need. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And you have been given fullness in Christ. You have been given this access. You have access to the full knowledge of Christ. You don't need other people to take you captive. No, you don't need anyone else to take you captive. You have access. You can receive it. You can be empowered. You can have the understanding and the knowledge of God, how to live a life that is worthy of Christ and pleasing to God himself. And he went on. He told them, if you go on reading, if I can just read this and depart from here, you will see why he was telling them this. He's speaking about these people. He's describing them. Okay, let me just read it quickly to you. In him you were also circumcised. We talk about the circumcision of the heart. Our hearts have been changed. We have a heart of flesh now. And the putting off of the sinful nature, not with the circumcision done by the hands of men, but with the circumcision done by Christ himself. He cut the things that were bad. That is a sign of forgiveness. Preparing you to continue with him, to love him and to follow him. Having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through your faith in the power of God. So you have been buried with him, your sins and everything that should stop you from knowing God and continuing in Christ have been buried. And now you rise with him in the newness of life to continue with him. So this is how he is describing them. Having been buried with him in the baptism and raised with him through your faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. And that is why he wants you to continue in this life with Christ. If you depart from him, this life is withdrawn and you are dead. And you cannot know God and you cannot rejoice. And Paul doesn't want that. And we don't want that ourselves. So our greatest desire is to walk with Christ, our Lord, and to know him. And for his winsomeness, his love, his power, his grace, and his holiness, his beauty. For he surpassed all men in beauty. Psalm 45. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. There is no one like him. He is the exact representation of God. That is why he's the invisible. He is the visible. In him, all the invisible qualities of God are being revealed to us in Christ. That is why Paul is calling us to this. So he is reminding them, he warned them of the false teachings, and now he reminded them of who they are. And now he asked them to continue in Christ and to continue to walk with him. And that is the challenge for you today, my friends, that if you don't continue in Christ and seek him diligently, and then you are at risk. I am at risk. How many times I am at risk of derailing, of because many preachers and many false prophets and philosophers who come with fine sounding words and trying to convince you when your heart completely is aware, because we are people who have been raised, we've been given life that can discern whether we are being dragged into sin or even to be devoid of his work and his praise, his presence and his grace and his leading and his use, using us. So if we don't continue in Christ, so we run the risk. So that is why today, just as you call yourself a Christian, as you call yourself as someone who has come to love him, continue in him. For this is what makes the true church. If you hear church is dying out, no revival, it's because people don't continue in Christ. Just if we continue in Christ, we have the revival, isn't it? Because where Christ is, there is revival. Where Christ is, there is revival. And where the false prophets and teachers, the teachers of doom, are so ripe, even in our most theological colleges, you can win a soul to Christ, and you still, if you don't write an exposition or a sermon that fits their categories, it's not good. Just imagine, are we writing sermons or are we saving souls? It's a diversion, isn't it? Then if you are a Christian, you believe in Christ, continue in him, love him, serve him, cry to him, continue, depart from the world, be like Athanasius, who contended for the best teaching at the Council of Nicaea. Him alone, in 325, he was being sent to desert. He was excommunicated. He was sent away, Athanasius. And he was told by his friend that the whole world is against you. And he said, and I am against the whole world. So be a Christian that is the whole world is against you. As you continue in Christ, let us pray.